The reading this morning is from John chapter 13, and you can find it on page 1020 in the Church Bibles. Beginning at the first verse of the chapter, Jesus washes his disciples' feet. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you will have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. So we're continuing our series on the values of Hartford Baptist Church this morning. And we're looking at serving all our communities. Service is a value of Hartford Baptist Church. And it's very interesting that biblically, service and worship are very much linked. So when we serve one another, we worship God. Worship is not when we just sing songs. Worship is every part of our lives. I wonder if you know what that is. Not very clear. Does anybody know what that is? Come on, confess. Mike? No. Well done. It's a selfie stick. Have you never heard of a selfie stick? So you can only take a photograph from that far away that you need a stick to take it a little further away. And the selfie has almost become a sort of cultural metaphor. It almost defines our society. People taking selfies all the time. And I don't know if you can see, bottom left is the most tweeted photograph of all of history. Now, Twitter hasn't had very long a history, but it went viral within minutes of Ellen DeGeneres, who's right in the middle of that picture at the bottom left. It went all over the world in no time. It was a selfie she took with a bunch of stars at the Oscars. But I don't know if you can see on the top right, there's a little figure in blue. That is Lisa Minnelli, who never actually got into the selfie because she was too short, poor woman. But taking selfies, and Mike and Ruth will remember, Sharon Jones was taking selfies, a student at All Nation, now in Peru, was taking selfies before there was even a concept of selfie. But this is our society, a society that is based upon me. I am the centre of my world. I Googled it. Boy, there are hundreds of pictures and T-shirts and bumper stickers with I am the centre of my world on it. Our culture is a self-obsessed culture. My rights are much more important than anybody else's. My comforts are more important than anybody else's. I have the right to free speech. I have the right to offend. I have the right to blaspheme. I don't care whether it offends anybody else. We are centred upon ourself. It's the self-everything, probably except self-control and selflessness are not selfies. But that's our society. And I suspect, and I'm afraid it is true, that our Christian faith and our expression of Christian faith has been influenced by this. Our faith can be almost psychotherapy. Our message, the gospel, is Jesus can make you feel good about yourself. It's self-actualization. Well, I've got some bad news, brothers and sisters. That's not true. And there's a very famous line from William Temple, who said, "The church is the only institution that exists primarily for the benefit of those who are not its members." It's not about me. My Christian faith is not about me and my opportunity to get to heaven for eternal bliss. It's not. It's about others. It's about those outside the church. The church, Hartford Baptist, therefore, does not exist for the benefit of Hartford Baptist. It's for the benefit of Hartford. It's the benefit of the United Kingdom. It's for the benefit of the world. That's William Booth in his old age. Well, you probably tell that, can you really? Or either he was 10 and he'd been aged by difficult circumstances. But William Booth was the person who started the Salvation Army. And he wanted to send a telegram to all his workers around the world. Okay, if you don't know what a telegram is, it's a sort of like a tweet, but they charge by the word. They charge every word, and he didn't have a lot of money. So do you know what he sent a Christmas telegram to all the Salvation Army workers around the world? And do you know what that word is? Anybody know? Go on, Alison, you know.
Others.
That's all he said. Others. Wow. Fancy getting a message from your boss. Others. What's he trying to say? But he's trying to say, you don't live for yourself, you live for others. So in this sermon, we're going to try and answer three questions. Why do we serve? Who do we serve? And how do we serve? I just want to give you a bit of a warning. I'm going to get you to talk to one another about the third question. So start thinking about that now. So why do we serve? There's some very good theological reasons why we serve. First of all, God is a serving God. Genesis 1, 29 and 30, God says, I'm giving you plants of the field in order to feed you. Now, in the ancient world, there used to be a lot of creation stories, creation myths. And generally, human beings were created to feed the gods. So the gods created human beings to serve them. And in the story in Genesis, we've got it completely the other way around. God creates human beings so he can serve them. He provides food for them. God is a serving God. Now, sometimes we get this idea that God's up there on a throne with thunder and lightning going on around him, with a big long beard, judging everybody for being nasty. No, God is a serving God. We know God through Jesus Christ. And he was a servant, as we heard in the reading. Now, some of you may know, I love theology of the Trinity, doctrine of the Trinity. Whoa, it blows my mind. Not just because I can't work out what 3 and 1 and 1 and 3 means, but because God is a loving community. God did not need to create us in order to love us. He didn't need it. He doesn't need us. Because God is in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Before the creation of anything, God was already in a community of love and of purpose and of service. John 17:1 is the start of Jesus' high priestly prayer, where he says, Father, glorify me as I glorify you. Jesus found his true identity in serving God the Father, in serving others. So God is a God of service. And what does it mean that we're made in that divine image? We are made to serve. We are made in that divine image of love and service. That means we are made to serve the other. We find our true identity not in looking inside, but serving the other. Jesus found his identity by serving the Father. We find our true identity when we serve other people and we love other people. That's an amazing, to me, that just blows my mind. I am not made for me. I am made for you. I am made to serve you. Paul says in Philippians 2, doesn't he? Don't look to the good of yourself. Look to the good of others. Their comfort, their interests are far more important than yours. Now, I hope you heard in that reading that Betty read to us that Jesus knew where he had come from and he knew where he was going to. Therefore, he took off his outer clothing and washed the disciples' feet. Because Jesus knew who he was, he could serve others. And washing feet was, you know, it wasn't just nasty, which it actually is nasty, but it's not just that it was a nasty job to do. It was the job of the lowest slave in the house. So that's why Peter kind of goes, what? You're going to wash my feet? That's wrong. And of course, it is wrong. But Jesus serves because he is taking a role he doesn't actually need to take. But he wants to serve his disciples. And he says to them, you call me master. Quite right, I am your master. But I'm washing your feet. That's what masters do in reality. And that's what Jesus did. He served his disciples. That's why we serve. It's in a sense, it's not something we do. It's who we are. We have a servant life. Because we are made in God's image, we're made in that image of the servant God. And sin, of course, has made us less than human. Sin has made us turn in instead of looking out. Sin has said, why should it happen to me? Not what I can do for others. So service is part of God's character, which we need to follow. Who do we serve? Who are we responsible for? And I've mentioned social media a couple of times, but the internet has made us knowledgeable about the world. I mean, they're great facts about Ethiopia, but you can Google them. I know that there are 30,000 children who die every day of diseases that are preventable. That makes me feel responsible for it. So who are we responsible for? James says in James 1:27, religion that our God accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James is really thinking about the Old Testament, where there were these classes of people: widows, orphans, and foreigners. Widows who didn't have a husband to look after them. Orphans who didn't have a father or mother to look after them. Foreigners who didn't have that family network. They were very vulnerable. And that's the Bible's very big concern: the vulnerable, the poor. And we, of course, serve our brothers and sisters. I sometimes say, you know, I love humanity. It's people I can't stand. I can love the poor, but if I don't love the poor here, what's just words, isn't it? So our brothers and sisters. And one of the most challenging of Jesus' parables in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. I was hungry, said Jesus. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was naked. I was in prison. And if you serve my little ones, then you're serving me. That goes back to what I started with. Service of others is worship of God. So if we want to worship God, let's serve others. So why? Well, because we are made in an image of a servant God. Who? The vulnerable, those who are around us. And so how? I gave you a warning. So how do we serve? I just want you to turn to the person next to you, or behind you or in front of you. Or if you don't want to do that, you can just sit and think on your own. Where are you serving already? And how can you serve better? How can you do this better? Where do we get the resources, spiritual resources, to serve others? Okay? That's now, by the way. So, just in groups. Where are you serving already, and how can you do this better? Okay. I would encourage you to continue to think about this during the week. Normally, I would say to students, you know, when it doesn't go quiet, I just say, let us pray, and everybody goes quiet. See? It works, isn't it? So really, where do we find the resources? We find them in our relationship with that servant God that we were talking about. That God himself is a servant, so that we serve as well. Let's pray. We sing our final song. Our loving Father, we thank you that you are a God who serves others, that you don't sit up there in the clouds and direct, that you are a God who came to this earth in the Lord Jesus to serve humanity who do not deserve it and rejected you. And we thank you for your service to your disciples, to the people around, by teaching them and healing and casting out demons, and ultimately by dying on the cross. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you can inspire us and empower us every day to serve others.